Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. And this is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and just talk about local racing. January 31st, 2023, last day of the month already. Starting off the new year with the hard charge hosting along with myself tonight. Gary's mission to get on his Facebook on his phone. How you doing?
Yeah. What's happening? And
even though he's frustrated, he's smiling because his Kings are winning 4-1 right now. So.
Go Kings go. Rugrats, if you're listening, go Kings go.
You're trying to switch them from their dad's team.
Oh, yeah. To a better team. Don't worry.
Of course.
It's not going worse. Trust me.
We have... Freak 33, Matt Esposito. What's up?
Here.
Took you a while to get here, huh?
Just a little bit. This traffic is terrible. And then with the whole Tropicana thing, that's just a mess.
Yeah, stay away. First time I seen it was today. It was just the on-ramp part that, of course, they took down.
They had the whole expressway closed over the weekend.
That's why I wasn't here on the weekend.
Exactly.
Well, our warehouse where our vans dispatch from is...
Oh, you're in that area.
Two blocks away. Yeah, we're right by Allegiant Stadium. So that's usually our unloading is at Tropicana. So
that's crazy.
That was fun.
We've got a great guest tonight, Mr. Pat Petrie. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, you guys. I appreciate it. It's been a while.
Yeah, we thought you didn't like us anymore. What's happening?
Mike, I like you and Matt fine.
Okay.
It's scary that it's a problem.
We hear that from everybody.
That's okay. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Year and a half-ish, 2 years ish pushing close to that.
Block this caller.
Yep.
I got that one right under
No. You never know when I need my trailer fixed.
There you go.
Right under
Matt and Pat.
Don't burn Tropicana bridges.
Right, there you go. Now, always a pleasure to have you, Pat. We appreciate it. And don't be as much of a stranger. You started coming on the show years and years ago, probably at least 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Actually,
8 years ago today.
Was it 8 years? Yeah. Okay. I don't know
if that was the last time, but
no.
A
couple of years ago.
Yeah. I think I did it pretty consistently every year for quite a while. And
you
then
did.
Last few years with, COVID and everything else. And let's blame it on COVID.
Yeah, it's COVID's fault. Everybody blames everything on COVID.
I wasn't
blaming that.
I bet if there were dwarf cars at Blythe, he would be here more often.
Well, you never know. That could be a possibility sometimes.
Right.
You never know.
And then we can get pre-recorded stuff.
Yeah.
Right. That's one thing that I think the last time you were on, you weren't as heavy into the dwarfs at the time. Was it a couple years or more?
Yeah, so... I ran, the pavement at the Bowring. My first season at the Bowring was 1990.
Yeah.
And I ran, the last races I ran there were the beginning of 2020. And that's when COVID shut down the Bowring, right? So I had a pavement modified at the time and I went and ran a couple races. We traveled, we went up to Idaho and ran a race, just some tracks that were open. And a friend of mine, Richie Abbott, had a couple of Dorf cars and he's heavily involved in the Dorf Car Club. And he invited me to go to Pahrump one night and say, hey, I have an extra car. You want to drive it? I'm like, I'll never fit in one of those things. And it was a miracle. I went over, I fit in it. I went up there and I had a blast. It was so much fun. And they were still racing golf cars around on some of the dirt tracks at the time. So that race that we took the modified up to in Idaho, one of the guys up there called me and asked me if I'd be interested in selling my car. So I sold it and bought a Dorf car. And it's been running on the dirt ever since.
Isn't that crazy how some of those chain of events, you just don't know where it's going to take you? And because I would have never thought you were going to get out of modifieds because you're pretty heavy into it and you're investing a lot of time and money into modifieds for a little while.
Yeah. I ran, we ran the Lucas Oil Modified Series when it was around for quite a few years. And it just got to the point 2020 was going to be my last year.
Really?
I was going to be done. It was time to hang and be done. And my wife, and I had talked about it, and then COVID came, and then I got rid of the modified and got a dwarf car and kind of got re-energized, and it just didn't happen. And she reminds me, she blames COVID on me still racing. So
now, do you think it was because you got into a dwarf or because it's dirt track racing that kind of kept you into it?
Couple things. The thing that I really like the best about the dwarf cars is, you know, it's we're the Southern Nevada Dwarf Car Association, so we're a club. We're a nonprofit, registered nonprofit with the state, 501c3 company, you know, nonprofit. And it's the atmosphere of the club just made it just that much better. You know, it's different when you're part of a club and you're traveling with the same group of guys and everybody's kind of got each other's back. And then, you know, even outside of our club, there's clubs all over in Southern Cal and Arizona and NorCal and Oregon and Colorado. I mean, there's clubs all over California and stuff. So it's kind of like an extended family there because we're all part of Western States Dwarf Car Association, but all the individual clubs make up that. So I think the club atmosphere, and I do have a lot of fun on the dirt. It hasn't been easy. I think it's much easier to go from dirt to asphalt than run an asphalt and trying to go to dirt. And dwarf cars are not easy to drive. So they're pretty challenging. They're probably the most challenging car I've ever driven. And I've driven, you know, I've had modifieds and late models and super late models and street stocks. And
oh, you name it, right?
I've driven truck. I've driven mini stocks. I've driven a Thunder Roadster. You name it. I've driven it probably besides a legend car in
and a skid plate.
Oh, haven't done that yet. I don't think that's ever going to happen. So
you want challenging? That might be the one. That might be what competes.
Yeah, but the dwarf car, you know, the dwarf cars, it's just a lot of fun. And you know, Richie told me when I first got into, he's like, you're going to get the most bang for your buck with a dwarf car if you want to race, and that's really true. I mean, it's not no racing's cheap, but a dwarf car is pretty the maintenance and they're pretty durable. I mean, I've seen guys go over two or three times and just go to the back of the pack and keep right on trucking. You know, usually it's the suspension tube or something like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good group of guys. And you know, I have a lot of fun racing against them on the racetrack. And then in the pits, it's just a lot of fun and support and hanging out with all the guys. So.
You know,
and girls. We have a couple girls in the club. Yeah.
Cool.
Can't forget you, Kat. So
and
just
used to have some fast ones. I know there's a couple fast girls that used to race with you guys.
Yeah. They were kind of gone when I I know Cecilia was doing it and a couple others maybe, but that was before my time, so I never raced with them. But there's quite a few when we go to the national races. There's quite a few, and they're pretty fast. So.
Well, you brought up a couple things that I have a question on. You kept talking about the Western states and so on. Are dwarf cars all across the United States?
There are. There's dwarf cars all over the country, but Western States Dwarf Car Association, it started in Northern California, and a guy who started it is Frank Monroe, and him and his wife, they're part of the NorCal Dwarf Car Club. They kind of started the whole thing with a group of guys. I don't know a lot of the history way before my time. But Western states rules that govern us have kind of crept across the country. We're starting to. There's even a branch of Western States Dwarf Cars now called the Central States Dwarf Car Association, and they run under Western states rules, and they run in Texas, Colorado, Kansas. They have some races, Wyoming. So it's stretching a little bit farther. There's a few clubs in Texas that run a little different rules, so there are some clubs out there that are different, but the Western states is by far the largest, but the most consistent rules. So anywhere we run around here, it's always Western states rules. So
do you know what some of the differences are in some of these other clubs? Why don't they want to change something more?
Some of them, you know, some chassis differences. You know, our main frame rails are made out of square tubing. Those guys can run round tubing. There's some differences with shocks and just some minor, not a lot. They're pretty competitive, but maybe tire difference. They might run a little softer tire or something like that.
Well, I guess that brings up something. Tell us what a dwarf car is. If somebody doesn't know what a dwarf car is, I mean, you're not a small guy, but you can actually fit in one.
Yeah.
I am a small guy, so I could probably fit in one.
Look over the steering wheel.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
A booster
between
seat.
The steering wheel. So
what is a dwarf car?
A dwarf car is basically, it's like about a 5/8 scale car. It's all tube fabricated chassis. They run motorcycle engines in them. My car is a Suzuki. It's a Gixxer. Other people run, you know, there's other motors that people
Are
run
there
in.
Certain CCs they have to stay within. And
there is. Some classes and clubs are run like 750 CCs or whatever, but not Western states.
Okay.
We're all, we run like 1,000 CC motors, fuel injected. You know, they have an ECU on them. My car has a quick change rear end in it. They're coilovers, rack and pinion steering. They got quite a few race car parts on them, fully fabricated cars. So kind of, they're similar to a Legend car. They're kind of the dirt version of a Legend car, but the main difference is a dwarf car is not a spec car. So you can build your own car.
Really?
You can do all your own stuff as long as it meets Western States rules. Now, there's some chassis builders out there that build cars all the time. You know, M&M, D&R, John Foster and JDR builds them. There's Tevez chassis. There's guys that build cars, and there's probably more. Those are just some I know of. So you can get into it fairly inexpensive.
Wow.
So, yeah, I bought my first car from Stacy Woods and his brother Kelly. They were in our club, and I bought turnkey with all the spares for a starter car, and it was well under $7,000 to start
that's
with.
Really cool.
You know, so it wasn't the most modern car, but it's a great car to learn in. And then I wasn't sure if I was going to do it, and I actually fit in that car, so I bought it. And then when I got kind of a little more serious about it, last year, before last season, I built a brand new car. So my car was brand new last year.
So building one versus buying one, what was it like? You actually built one from ground up?
I just bought the chassis.
Okay.
I bought the chassis from one of our club members who had it, and it was a copy of like a DNR, and it was built. I'm not exactly sure the whole backstory behind it,
but it was
basically a DNR car, not from DNR. And, all DNR parts bolt on it and fit on it. So I just bought the chassis from him, and it had a few parts, you know, most of the body was there and a few things here and there. And then I just, over time, you know, bought everything, built it, put it together.
Wow,
so
that's cool. What kind of wheelbase are those? Like 90s?
That depends on whose car you measure.
Oh.
that's an inside joke. So some people listening might understand what that is. But it's like 73-inch wheelbase car, and we give or take a half, depending on the rules, and we measure that. And so they're a smaller car. When we went to Rock Springs, Wyoming, a couple years ago for a national big half mile, the fastest dwarf car was about, I want to say, half a second quicker than the fastest modified that was there that weekend.
That's fast.
But they're fast. They're quick. You know, not so much anymore, but they're not faster than the modifieds everywhere, but they're fast. Hmm. It's a lot of fun.
How about bodies and stuff like that? Are they pretty common? Like, there's certain two or three different body types? Or can you make your own body?
Yeah, you can make your own body. They're based off of kind of similar to a Legend car. They're based off of, like, you know, 32, 34 sedans and stuff like that. But we have trucks. You can have a truck.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
So there's truck bodies. There's sedans. There's coupes. So mine's a Vicky body. So it's kind of a sedan. So they have to be based on one of those kind of models. But you can build it yourself. You know, it's all just flat aluminum panels with the roof with a few bends and stuff in it. So, you know, it's a little cheaper if you have to replace a panel or something, easy to make your own stuff. So, yeah.
So it's not like a fiberglass body you have to go out and buy.
Nope. You can actually build the entire dwarf car from get the rule book and build it in your garage. As long as it meets the rules, you can build one. So.
That's pretty cool.
Do you guys keep points for all of everybody or just in your group?
Well, so there's a national point fund for the Western States national races, and there's I think six of those with the regional this year. So nationals are held at, we host the first one of the year. Our club hosts it at Mojave Valley Speedway, and it's March 9th through 11th. That's the first national of the year for the dwarf cars.
Right.
Last year we had like 81, 82, somewhere in there, cars at our national.
Isn't that amazing?
Some of the bigger nationals have, there's been a couple that have had, I'm pretty sure, close to 100, maybe a little more. So there's a national points system. And then we also, locally, our club, we actually have three different point systems that we run for. So there's a sponsored point system called the McCatlin Dwarf Car Series. Okay. That's the three races at Lake Havasu. We have three races on the pavement and the first three races at Mojave. And that's like a mini series within the series, 3 and 3. And that's sponsored by McCatlin Dwarf Cars out of Lake Havasu. And they put up the point fund for that. So that's one point fund. Then we also, this year, for the first time, we're going to have a Mojave track champion. So we have our whole own point fund for Mojave. And then we also have the Southern Nevada Dwarf Car, our club points champion. So in our club, there's three different ones that you can.
Wow.
Yeah. And some of them, like the McCatlin series, it's the first, it's those six races. Mojave, it's all the races that we run in Mojave. Our club, it's a combination of those. Okay. And we also do, the way our club points work, your two worst races get thrown out. You have two throwouts, and then your best race gets doubled. So it's kind of designed if you have to miss a couple or something like that, you're still
have a chance
to be in the points. And, but, yeah.
But that's
so
just for your
– that's the club. That's NDCA club champion, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So all of them have point fund money. All of them have payouts, you know. Which are pretty decent payouts. So it's – I'll just put it this way. Our Dwarf Cars, the most money I've ever made – from a points payout has been with the Dwarf Cars, and I've won a championship at the Bullring. I haven't won a championship in the Dwarf Cars. I finished last year. I finished fifth in points. The year before that, I finished sixth, and those payouts were quite a bit higher than when I won a championship at the Bullring.
Wow, that's amazing. Is it due to the type of sponsors you guys get?
Yeah, you know, we hustle sponsors all the time. For our national, we're right now, actively, our club members are seeking sponsors. We have quite a few that are already committed, and they you know, since it's a nonprofit, that's
a little easier because then those companies can write it off.
Yeah. Right, and we also, like, for nationals, every driver that registers for nationals gets a T-shirt for the event. They do that at all the nationals, and that T-shirt we also sell throughout the year at our races and stuff, and it has all those sponsors on the back of it that sponsor our nationals that are our club. You know, had went and got, and there's quite a few of them. So, you know, for example, I'd like to, you know, a few of them I'd like to thank.
Yeah, let's talk about the sponsors before we run out of time.
Core Construction, they've always been on board with us. They're very helpful. They're on board again for Nationals this year.
Okay.
Alston Construction, Airrite Air Conditioning, Myers Motorsports, Myers Enterprises, the Pig's Feed, Dwarf World, Priority Grading, Murphy Electric, Pantone Construction, Colliers, DNR Chassis, Morton's Travel Plaza, quite a few. So those are the ones that are already committed for this year, some level. But we also have quite a few that we're still trying to get on board for our race.
If somebody wanted to find out more about these sponsors, do you guys have them in any particular place yet, like on your website or
so,
Facebook page?
Yeah, so the club has a Facebook page, and we also have you know, you can find out information about the Dwarf Cars if you go to my Facebook page or Southern Nevada Dwarf Cars. There's a Facebook page. We put a lot of stuff on.
Do you still do the H-Town?
We have it. It's not as active.
Okay. I was just curious if you did, like, incorporated the Dwarf stuff into that.
I do, but, you know, I have so many things. Like, I have my own Facebook page. I have Southern Nevada Dwarf Car page. We have a members-only page for our members, and we do a lot of communication on for Dwarf Cars about upcoming races and stuff like that. So, yeah, and, you know, we have, you know, I have to, our club, we have a board of directors that consists. I'm the president this year, and Justin Fennern is our vice president. His wife Sierra.
Well, that's pretty cool because a couple years ago you just got into it. You're definitely not a man of that's afraid of taking on a challenge.
Well,
so now you moved up into.
He's the one that said yes.
Yeah.
So my first year I was the vice president. Stacey Woods was our president, and then last year I was the president. Now doing the president role again this year.
Are all the members racers also?
We have associate members, and then all the guys who race are members too.
Okay.
So Justin is our vice president, Justin Fenner, and his wife Sierra fills the secretary role this year. She's new to the board. And then my wife Vicky is taking over the treasury role this year. She was the secretary last year. You know, and Christy Abbott and Richie Abbott, they're good friends of mine, and that's who got me into this. And when they got me into it, they were the president, and Christy was doing probably 90% of the work. And they're still heavily involved, and they help us along the way. And, you know, it's just time for them to kind of take a break because it's a lot of work.
Sure.
We don't let them take too big of a break.
No,
but,
they go too far.
They do. So, and it's just a team effort. You know, it's all the club members. We try to get to participate and help us out. So.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really, really good group to travel with, and because you guys travel. Of course, you're not dedicated just to the one track. You guys do a few different tracks.
Yeah, so we run our next race is actually Saturday, this Saturday at Havasu on the pavement again. And then after that, the following week, we're at the XR Dirt Track at LVMS on the half mile.
That's crazy to see a Dorf on. A half mile. Have you guys raced that half mile before?
Yeah, we did. We did it last year, and we had
kind of speed. You guys get.
Oh, I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I know if you stand by the fence and watch them go by, it's pretty fast.
Right.
I mean, some of the good guys, not me. The guys that are good, they don't lift. You know, they're full throttle, and I'm like, that's not me. But that's okay. I'm too old, and I don't heal fast enough to do that anymore. But that's next week. February 8th is our practice night, and then it's. Three full shows, the 9th, 10th, and 11th, three full races at the dirt track. And it's the Dorf cars, West Coast Sport Compacts, the Mini Dorfs. The Mini Dorfs are kind of a go-kart version of the Dorf car.
With a body on it.
Yes, they look like little modified Dorf cars, sprint cars. They have Predator engines on them. I don't know all the rules, but they run on like a little dirt track in the infield. They'll be there, modifieds, B-mods. So that's all. There's three full shows next week at the dirt track for that. And then our next race after that will be getting ready for our national at Mojave, which is the first national year, so it's usually well attended because a lot of guys, you know, haven't been racing and they're ready to get out and get back to the
and
nationals.
That's at Mojave.
Mojave Valley.
The
9th, 10th,
March 9th, 10th, 11th. So
yeah.
Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday.
The 9th is our practice night. We have practice that night, and then it's a two-day show on the 10th and 11th.
Okay.
Three divisions. The nationals run three different divisions. They run a pro division. Which is, you know, a lot of guys who run the pro division have been doing it for a while. They're the best ones. They're fast. Some of them drive sprint cars and other stuff, and those are the guys, right? And then you have the sportsman division. Sportsman is guys just getting into Dorf cars, maybe have an older car. They run the sportsman class, and that's open to anybody. And so is the pros if you decide you want to be a pro. And then they have the vets division, right? That's for the old dudes. The 45 and over is the vets. But let me tell you, a lot of the vets could give the pros a run for their money any day of the week.
I bet. Some of them probably think, hey, I got nothing to live for except racing. I'm going.
Yeah. So they usually run those three. Those are the three divisions we run at the nationals.
So you kind of mentioned some you can pick if you want to be in a – what's really the determining between each one besides the age for the vet ones? Like,
so
if I say, hey, I want to be a pro, but everybody knows I suck, will I still be able to run with pros?
Sure. But the only stipulation is there's some – and I'm not exactly sure what it is, but if you've won like the national championship in the sportsman, or if you've won – couple of sportsman national events that the next year you have to move up to the pro or the vets. But other than that, I think that's about the only thing that dictates what class you run in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's probably more of like a commitment level.
Right. I'm sure
if you're full committed and you're putting money and you play in the pros.
Yeah, I'm sure if there's
if you want to play in the pros, you better bring your A game because it's no joke. I'm telling you that right now. I mean, we had a couple. We had not from our club, but I know of three or four guys that run pros that are Western States guys that all ran the Tulsa shootout in mini sprints, micro sprints, and some of them did fairly well. So, you know, they're good race car drivers. Wow. So the pros put on a good show, and you know, the vets, the other thing about the vets is the races are 10 laps shorter, which is perfect for me.
Really?
Because on the dirt track, I'm telling you, it's a workout, and I'm tired.
I'm
looking for the mandatory competition yellow laps in, but it doesn't come out.
Not a lap.
Yeah.
So typically, what are the laps and so on from each one of those? Like
it depends. On the national, the pros run a 30-lap A main on Saturday night, and the other two divisions, I think, run 25 or 20-lap mains.
Does it matter because of the track? Maybe that's determined. So it just
it's the format. But they also run full. So the format for a national is on Friday night, you peel draw, you run heat races. Then you transfer into the main or B main on Friday night. They run a B main, transfer into the A main. The top 10 from the A main Friday night are locked into the A main Saturday.
Okay.
So then when Saturday rolls around, everybody pill draws again. Those 10 do their separate pill draw for a race called the Fast Dash.
Oh.
So they pill draw for the Fast Dash, and then how you finish the Fast Dash is how you start the main.
No
so
way.
If you finish 10th in the A-Main on Friday and you drew the one and you start on the pole and you win the Fast Dash, you start on the pole for
wow.
the main Saturday. So, and then the full show on Saturdays, heat races, Fast Dashes, and then if there's B-Mains, transfer, and then the A-Mains. So, yeah, it's quite a bunch of racing going on.
Cool. What are you looking more forward to, the Nationals at Mojave or out at Vegas on a half mile?
I look forward to all of it. I love it all, and it's fun, and the group's fun to race with. And, you know, we don't get to race. We are the Southern Nevada Dwarf Car Association, and we race a lot in Arizona and Southern California, and there's really not a home dirt track in Southern Nevada since Pahrump shut down and hasn't been running. So it's really exciting that we get the opportunity to run in front of our Las Vegas crowd and try
Absolutely.
To get Dwarf Cars back in the spotlight in Las Vegas.
Heck
so,
yeah, that's
yeah.
cool, and can't be on a but a half mile track. That's amazing.
I mean,
to see that.
Yeah, I mean Mojave's not, you know, it's pretty short drive. It's only like 70 miles or something, and that's the Southern Nevada Dwarf Car Association's home track is Mojave, and they treat us great. They're awesome to work with. Ron Myers and his family who owns and runs that place. Is outstanding, and they help us quite a bit. So it's well worth proud to call Mojave our home track,
wow.
even though
it's
you know.
Kind of not, but it is.
It is. It is. Yeah. I mean, the Arizona Club, they run a joint race with us at Mojave, but a lot of those guys are from the Phoenix area. So it's still quite – it's longer for them to go from Phoenix to Mojave than it is
right.
for us. And so they race at some other tracks
right.
Down in that area. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How about tires? You know, what – I didn't – hear about tires. What you got? A tire rule? You guys
yeah.
have a certain tire?
So for the dirt races, Western for all our dirt races, we run under Western States. All our races, we run under Western States Dwarf Car Association rules,
okay.
which is a Hoosier tire that's a spec tire that you have to buy from Hoosier. So the way that works is our club, we buy tires through Hoosier, and then we just sell them to our members at
right.
cost
right.
at our membership, and that's how we. And that's what most clubs do,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
But for the pavement, we did run the dirt tire on the pavement at
okay.
one point, and the cars. So Richie Sun Ridge has the track record for a dwarf car at Havasu, and that was with the dirt tires,
okay.
and it's a 1550. So that's like
that's pretty
cool. it's faster than the pro late models run there. So
mm-hmm.
it was like 3/4 to 1/2 second quicker than the legend car.
Wow.
track record. But the problem with that is the dwarf car tires are really soft, and it'll burn the right rear off of it
okay.
in about 10 laps. So what we decided to do moving forward is for the pavement races, we run any DOT,
okay.
13-inch DOT tire you want, but it has to retail for under $100.
Oh.
So,
can you find that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
We order them online, and
okay.
I actually ran the same set for like 4 races, and they're pretty durable. Cars are much slower.
Sure.
They're probably a second slower or maybe a little more than that on the DOT tires, but everybody's in the same boat.
Right.
And they last, so it helps with
sure.
Costs and
wow.
stuff like that. Plus, the Hoosier tires for a while were really hard to get.
Yeah.
They were
absolutely.
Having those issues, so we didn't want to – the tires we were able to get, we didn't want to – they need to last a few
yeah.
races. So I can run the dirt races, you know, I can run the front tires almost all season
right.
for every race. And that's probably 15, 16 races a year that I run. And the rear tires, the right rear, I change a few times, maybe 3 or 4 times a year. And then the left rear, maybe 2 or 3 times a year. So
can you run your dirt tire on the pavement if you want, or you have to run this?
You have to run a DOT tire. That's because if you do run the dirt tire, it's such an advantage. It's so much softer.
Yeah.
So it's just any DOT tire. You have to run a DOT tire that retails for under $100 on the pavement race.
Any thoughts of going DOT on the dirt also?
That's, you know, it's, we run, like I said, we run under Western States rules.
Right.
So, you know, that's the tire that they've worked out with Hoosier. And
Hoosier
it's the same tire like the Mod Lights run. It's
right.
a 13-inch mm-hmm. Hoosier. And, you know, I don't think there's any plans to do that. So we run the Western State tires on all the dirt races. So.
Okay. Do you only run sanctioned races throughout? Do you ever run any non-sanctioned type races?
Sure. This race that we're running in Las Vegas is not a Western States race, and it's not SNDCA race. It's kind of a XR race, and the way they do it is you have to designate what rules you're running under. So you have to designate you're running under Western States rules, and then they also have, I think, Lone Star Dwarf Car rules, which is a different out of Texas. There's some cars that have a little bit different rules. You just have to declare,
and then they use
those rules to make sure that you can't say I'm running under Western States and have something that a Lone Star car has.
Okay.
So, but they have a few exceptions, that they list in there that everybody has to have, and they're pretty standard for Dwarf cars. So it makes it, there's really no changes. We can go run it, and it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Is teching tough to do on the Dwarf car, since you know it's not a spec division, so that kind of makes it a little harder because things are a little wider in the rules.
So the way we handle our tech for our club races is we do a random poll of two club members that are there, and it's their role to do tech that night. And we also do a random poll out of a bag of what two or three things, and that's what they check that night. So nobody knows until the race is over, and then we draw and say, hey, Justin, you're doing tech, and Ori, you're doing tech, and tonight we're checking butterflies, transmissions, and wheelbase, or whatever we pull out of the bag, and that's what they check. And so when it's a national, there's a huge pre-race tech where the club is responsible. We also can reach out and have help from other clubs if we need to tech, and we run them all through tech looking for safety stuff and check some heights and other stuff like that that are Western States rules. And then the top 10 or the A mains go to tech. And then there's also the same thing. The tech committee for that national techs some stuff on all those cars in the top 10. And sometimes we ask other clubs to help us tech or whatever. So that's kind of how it's done. Western States does have a tech official that if you need clarification or anything like that, you can reach out to Western States.
Yeah. Wow.
And the Western States officials are at all the nationals. So Frank Monroe is the president of Western States. He's always there. So if there's a question about a rule or something like that, he's there for clarification. He lets the club kind of make those decisions because you're running the event. Mm-hmm. But if you have to ask a question, there's clarification.
Wow, that's cool. I like that. That's kind of strange to pick. But that's a great idea, actually, to randomly pick a couple guys from.
And sometimes the guy we pick might be a guy in tech. So then that's why we pick two, because then the other guy – text his car, so there's no hiding anything because you're always looking at the competitor's car in our club. I mean, we pretty much know what everybody's got because we tech each other's stuff quite a bit. So,
and most guys know, hey, what they should be running and all that. And if you see somebody start running away with it, you kind of know. Nobody's dumb out there.
Our club's probably, it's really competitive. We have a David Tevez was our club champion last year, and he won a ton of the races, but they weren't easy wins by any means. There's no walking away from everything. I mean, we probably have realistically on any given night, half a dozen guys that probably have a shot at legitimately winning a race.
Nice.
And then from there back, it's super competitive too. I finished as high as fourth or fifth in the main. I haven't won one on the Dwarf course. I won a couple of heat races. But then there's some nights, car's running good, and I end up 13th because it's so competitive. And a lot of it, dirt racing, the track changes and your setup's not quite right. So it evens it out quite a bit. So it's really competitive. And our club is super competitive when we run the nationals. David's won national races. And Ridge Abbott's always run well. Ronnie Williams is in our club. He's a force to be reckoned with anywhere they go. So we have some club guys that are pretty hard to beat anywhere. So it's we're pretty proud of that.
Interesting.
But I assume that the club atmosphere, there's no racer left behind.
No.
They want everyone to compete. So if somebody's broken, the club's there trying to get everybody out on the track. Everybody's racing.
Oh, sure. I call Derek Rossi. He's one of our club members, and Ronnie Williams drives his car right now, has been driving it. And I call Derek all the time. I call David Tevez. I call Richie. I'm like, hey, I want to try this, try that. What do you think? And everybody's super helpful. If somebody crashes at the racetrack, you'll see, if they tear something up in a heat race, there's plenty of parts in all the trailers usually to fix it and hands to help and stuff like that. So yeah, it's really tight knit and we make sure that we do everything we can to get all our cars on the racetrack.
And then when you're on the track, then it's every man for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you're all competitive and want to do well, but we're, for the most part, everybody's pretty respectful and doesn't tear up each other's stuff. I mean, stuff happens and it's racing, but, you know.
But
you,
it's nice because then you can focus on racing. You can focus on actually having fun and enjoying the event instead of worrying about what this person did, what that person did.
Ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, last year I even got into a couple guys a few times, not intentionally, but, you know, it wasn't a lot of fun, but, you know, got into a guy who went for a pretty nasty ride, and it was all unintentional, and I was the one down there lending him the porta power to help fix his car, and I'm the one who caused him the wreck.
Really?
So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes.
So that's the rule. If you wreck somebody, you got to fix their car.
Well, you don't have to, but everybody's eager to jump in, and, you know, it's a club effort, and it's just the more cars and the better show we put on, it just benefits our club.
Absolutely.
So,
all the way, easier to get sponsors.
Sure.
Now, you mentioned something about on a race night, and I don't know if it was just for the Nationals, you get to feed everybody and everything. What's happening with that?
Yeah, so kind of the national format is on a Friday. So what the club does, and all the clubs do this when they run the national, you know, so all the drivers that register, pay their entry fee, show up and register, gets a T-shirt with all the sponsors on the back. So those get distributed to all the drivers at every national, and then that becomes our club shirt for the year, and we sell them throughout the year to our club members or anybody who wants to buy them. And they have all our sponsors on the back for our nationals, as well as, you know, we do banners and stuff like that. And then we also do a raffle, so our club members get items, and we put them in a raffle, and that's money that the club raises just to help fund the club and be able to do some of the stuff we do. And then we also, so that happens at all the races. And then we also, on Friday night after the A-Main, we feed all the, for a national, you know, we feed everybody. We've done tacos. I mean, we've even had a margarita machine for after the race.
After the race.
Yeah, that's me after. But we've had that, and, you know, and then hamburgers, hot dogs. Sometimes we do brisket. I mean, the people get crazy. You know, they're really providing something. Because a lot of the dwarf car guys, they show up in Mojave in their motorhome or camper, and they don't leave all weekend. So a majority of them, when you travel to nationals, you'll even see tents in the pits. You know, they pitch a tent, they stay there all weekend.
That's cool.
Yeah, especially when you start going up to some of the, in the spring and summer, some of the tracks up in Northern California in the mountains where it's, you know, kind of in the middle of the woods and stuff like that. So, yeah, so then we feed everybody. And then Saturday, it's the same routine, same thing. Feed everybody after the races, do our awards, pass them all out, and try to get that done quickly because people are trying to get on the road and head back to wherever they came from. I mean, we get cars at nationals from Oregon and Washington and Colorado and Arizona and sometimes Wyoming and, you know, Nevada, Northern Nevada. They come from all over. So
that's amazing.
I think at Marysville last year, the last national of the year that they hosted in Northern California, there was a couple of cars from Canada. So
that's
cool. Yeah.
Where is Marysville, by the way?
It's Northern California. It's above San Francisco.
Oh, way up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
dirt track, what size?
They're all the tracks we run nationals on are usually about, you know, between like a quarter to maybe a 3/8.
Okay.
They're pretty similar. You know, they're not all the same. Some of them are tight corner, long straightaway. Some of them are rounded, but they're all pretty similar in size. But Rock Springs, we ran a race there, and it's a half mile, and we ran that. Yeah, last year I even went to Colorado for one of the Central States races and ran at I-76 Speedway in Colorado in June. For a race there.
Cool.
I have family there, so my wife and I went for about a week and did a bunch of stuff.
Isn't that where your family's originally from?
Yeah,
for Vegas, right?
Yeah, so then we raced at I-76 Speedway, which is cool because that was the only track. That's one of the tracks. My dad was an asphalt guy,
right?
But they did race on that track a few times, so it was kind of cool to race there.
That's really cool.
One of my cousins on my dad's side has a mini sprint, and they race there too. So he got to race. So I have a lot of family around, so it was pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
What's one, you know, not that it's any favorite of the association or anything like that, but what's your favorite track to
my
race
personal
on?
Favorite track? I don't know. They're all pretty fun. It's hard to decide.
He's politically correct. That's okay.
Well, I can tell you, my favorite kind of track, when they all can be that way, you know, from coming from the pavement, if it's heavy and tacky, I'm terrible. I can
really?
Tell you that right now. If it's pedal down and heavy and tacky, it ain't for me. I haven't got used to that yet. But the dry, when they get dry slick,
that's
I'm a lot
more,
better.
Right.
So I would say any track that's in the Southwest, because they all get dry slick, they're probably my favorite. When you go up to Northern California, some of them stay a little heavier and tacky. They're fun, and I like running them. It's just
you don't have the experience.
Just trying to figure it out, you know.
Yeah. Would you hear, have you heard anything from the guys that only race dirt, that started racing some of the asphalt racing in Havasu, what they think about asphalt? Because they like it.
We love going to Havasu
really?
And racing. Yeah, the club loves going down there. And, you know, Bill Rozon and his, they take great care of us down there. And,
they're great guys down there.
Last week, we had our last race on the 31st. The place was packed. And we had a big car count. And then the fans loved it. And they even put some posts on Facebook, Havasu did, that it's, you know, Dwarf Cars that became their new fan favorite down there after that race.
That's really
cool. So it's kind of cool, yeah, to go down there and run. But, yeah, they have a lot of fun. They want to run anywhere. It doesn't matter. They run on pavement. They'll run on dirt. They'll probably run on a road course if we found one.
Wow,
so
that would
yeah.
be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
So a lot of fun.
Are there places to go find these Dwarf Cars that are already put together for sale? Is it just
sure they're all over the place?
Yeah.
You can find them on Facebook all over, and you know, you can find a used competitive car depending on how serious you want it. If you want to start a car or something really competitive, you can find them anywhere from, you know, $5,000-$6,000 up to $15,000 or $20,000 depending on what you're looking for, you know, how serious you want to be about it. So
now, even though it's not a spec series or whatever you want to call it, division, are there limitations to the motors that you can do?
Yeah, they're stock. They have to be stock.
100% stock.
Bone stock. You can rebuild them. You can have them freshened up and stuff like that. But they're stock motors.
Okay.
Supposed to be. I'm sure there's a few out there that aren't.
And don't
you know,
matter if it's water cooled, they're cool.
They're all water cooled.
All water cooled.
Yeah, they're all, well, we all are water cooled.
Okay.
I don't know if any that are air cooled.
That's older
maybe,
stuff.
Maybe in the early days of Dwarf Cars, they probably were.
Okay.
But they're all water cooled. Fuel injected, ECUs, wiring harnesses on them, you know, stuff like that. So they don't have to tune anything. I mean,
right.
You can get your box, buy a box for your car and, you know, run the fuel injection. It has the sensors, so it adjusts the jetting, you know, the amount
right.
of fuel adjusts everything.
Are you allowed
everything.
To run something like a dyno jet or anything like that aftermarket?
Some people,
adjustable.
I think, you know, people have dynoed and tuned just to tune the best they can. The boxes are pretty stock. You can flash it so it can turn a little bit more RPMs,
okay.
but the motors are bone stock. So you can't do a whole lot because it doesn't do any good, right?
But you don't limit RPM or anything like that.
No, I mean,
motorcycle engines obviously can rev up, you know, 8,000 RPM or more.
Well, 14,000, man.
Yeah, 12, 13.
I don't turn that hard, but
they,
fast guys
they run
can,
the red line. They, okay.
The fast guys can turn pretty hard. You know?
And guessing they're fuel efficient, too, compared to...
Right.
Yeah, so we run pump gas.
Okay.
So the rule is pump gas. So I have a 4-gallon fuel cell in my car, and if I fill it up, it's good for the weekend.
That's crazy.
You know, so
for the weekend.
And
for the weekend.
See, and you get fed.
Uh huh. Wow.
Let's do it.
Not showing up with, you know, 8 gallons of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's cheating. I can easily. Well, we don't get, you know, on the dirt track. There's not a lot of practice normally,
right?
Right. So
right.
You show up. You go wheel pack. You run your heat race, you run your main. If you filled it up before you got there, you're good to go.
Yes.
So, yeah. But, you know, at Havasu, we get a lot of practice. So, because on the pavement, we get a chance, and which the Dwarf Cars need, because it takes them, a lot of our guys have never ran on pavement
right.
before. So, it takes a little getting used to and making some adjustments. So, probably go through a little more there just because of the practice time. But, yeah, they're pretty, like, you know, they're pretty, to be for a race car, you can have a lot of fun, and it's not, it's expensive. All racing is, but it's a lot cheaper than most.
It's a good entry level.
Yeah.
Seems like it's a good entry level.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't call it entry level,
but
what I would say is it's economical.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
If you want to get into racing and you don't have a lot of money and you want to be, you know, they're real race cars. I mean, we run quick change rear ends in them and
right.
all kinds of bells and whistles on them. So, yeah.
They're really fast. That's
they are fast.
If you don't mind me asking, is the entry fee similar to each track or to each track?
Well, for nationals, there's a fee structure.
Okay.
So nationals, it's usually, depending on what track it is, like for Havasu or for Mojave, our national for the Pro and Vets, it's $105 entry
okay.
fee. and they have to pay that, but that doesn't include their pit passes.
That's the car.
That's just an entry fee.
Okay.
And then the sportsmen have a little less entry fee, but then the pit passes we pay at the track, and so it's $80 because it's 40 a night. So for a pro, it's like $185. But everybody who starts a main event doesn't have to be an A main. If you start the C main, B main, A main, you get paid out. So, and it's usually close to what your entry fee and pit passes were. Not always. It just depends on car count.
Right.
But for our normal club races, there's no entry fee. It's just your pit passes. And then, you know, we run.
What are the track pit?
Yeah, you just buy your pit pass. Yeah, and then we do a pill draw because we do our own lineups and all that kind of stuff. So the club does charge a pill draw that's like $10 pill draw for members.
Okay.
And that just goes towards our point fund, and then we do that at every race, and it just goes back to the club. So
nobody complains about that. They're okay with putting they know it goes to the point.
Right. And we every night when we race at all the dirt tracks, we do cash payout at the end of the night.
Right.
Vicky and Sierra and Christy and whoever else has done it in the past, they get the lineups, they fill the envelopes, we do payout, so everybody has their cash on the way home. Most of the nationals are paid by check because it's a little bit different situation, and it's kind of hard to do a cash payout for 100 cars.
Sure.
I don't know that I want to have, $18,000 in cash in my truck to do a payout or whatever. But so some of those are a little different, but usually the club races, we always do cash. Other clubs may do it differently.
You don't do travel money, nothing like that. It's just whatever the payout is.
Right. And our payouts are depending on the track and depending on our car count, are what we've negotiated with the promoters, and they give that directly to the club, and then the club does their own payout.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Trophies, you guys?
The track provides trophies for all the club races. We do our own trophies for the banquet, and that's another expense we have for nationals. We do all our own trophies for nationals as well.
Wow, that sounds really
organized.
Organized
and fun.
Well, exactly. And it's weird that, you don't hear about the different the associations throughout, but then running under the Western States.
That there's so many clubs, it's not talked about a lot.
I
depends on who you talk to, because Justin knows about it from Bow Racing and stuff. So
I can tell you guys if you want to come check them out, and if you're in town, come out to the Vegas next weekend. I don't know what the car count's going to look like there, because it's not a club race, but I would expect that it's probably somewhere in the high 20s, maybe low 30s. I hope.
Most likely.
I don't know.
Okay.
And kind of get an idea. They put on a good show out there. And so that'd be a good idea. Come in the pits, check them out. If you don't think you can fit in one, I'm 6'6", 300 pounds, and I fit in it. And I have 6 inches of headroom in my car. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So they're not all that way, but mine is. So.
So the XR, that's next week here at Vegas.
Well, first, this Saturday, we're at Havasu.
Havasu, I forgot about that.
The next week, we're at Vegas for the XR Working Man Nationals. And then our next race after that is going to be the March 9th through 11th at our national at Mohawk.
And that's your guys'?
The club. That's the national that we host for Western States.
Yeah, and if you haven't been to Mojave, that's a dirt track to go to.
Sure.
When you're going out to it, I've said this before, you think you're going the wrong way, and it's
boom.
Right when you think you went the wrong direction, there it is.
Yeah, and if you want to see, if you really want to check out the dwarf cars, that would be ideal to come watch them, because there's going to be tons of them, and it'll be a blast. So,
cool.
Yeah. I also have to, along with running the club, I have so much help, with my wife and Justin and Sierra and Christy and Richie and, all our club members, I can't name them all. There's tons of them that always pitch in and help. So I have to thank them. And, with that, along with that, I still have to support my own race program, right? So I'm very blessed to have a lot of help with my own sponsors that come out every weekend and have come out every year and have been consistent. Finley Cadillac, they've been with me for a few years now. And without Eamon and his team, I wouldn't be able to do it. Great guys, great place to buy a car if you get a chance. Dr. Marianne Shannon, she's been a longtime family friend, fixed my knees up a couple times. She helps me every year. I couldn't do it without her. IES Communications, good friend of mine, Ben Morris, whose wife got into a dwarf car, and she runs with us,
That's cool.
And she's getting really pretty good, so I have to be on my toes because her whole, I think her whole goal is to beat me, and to be honest with you, it's not far off. So if she's faster than me, I think I might have a brakes fail or something I have to pull off. You never know.
Yeah,
you never know what might go wrong.
Your knees.
Yeah,
your
knees. But Ben's been, he's like a member of our family, and I've known him since a little kid, coaching him in wrestling and stuff like that, and he's helps me, and, you know, he knows I love him, so I appreciate what Ben does. And then I also have Precision Cold Planing. They're out of Utah or out of Southern California, and it's Rob Rozon, and that's Bill Rozon's son, and
okay.
He saw a couple of dwarf car races and loved it and wanted to help out, and he's been helping me every year too. So and then Richie and Christy, their business Instant Images photography, they have been instrumental in helping me, along with, you know, Izzy's Injectors and a whole bunch of people that always seem to help whenever I need it. So I have to thank all those people as well, because without them, couldn't be doing any of it. So,
you know, and that's something, support the businesses that support racing. If you want to find out about any of these businesses, they can get a hold of you and find out more. Where's the best way to find out about
just
you?
Facebook. Go on Facebook. Okay. I'm on there, Pat Petrie on Facebook. And you know, if you have any questions, if there's anybody out there that's interested in maybe jumping on board and helping us with the sponsorship for Nationals, we have a packet we can send you. We have, you know, packages from $250 all the way up to $2,500 and more.
Is that the best way to get a prepackage?
So if you want to, well, that's what we do. So okay. We send them out, and they can fill it out. And then we have that form. And then when we're done, after the race, we draft letters, send them letters. So they have those letters for their taxes, for their donation, stuff like that. But it kind of spells out on there what level and what they're going to get for that level. But it, you know, yeah, all the help's appreciated. None are too big and none are too small, you know. So we appreciate every. If you're interested in doing that, just find me on Facebook and send me a message, or any of our club members that you may know, reach out to. And, yeah, so we're trying to hustle those up now. And
it seemed like for the early years, like the dwarfs were dying out, but in the last few years or so, it seems like they're just growing again, and it's really cool to see that.
You know, I don't know a lot of the history. I've only been in it for a few short years, but when I came in, you know, Richie and Christy were the president, and I don't know about any time before that. Richie was the president, Christy was the secretary. I don't know who had it before that or who was the club or anything like that, so I don't really know the history, but from the time I've been in it, we've been a strong club and have plenty of cars, so, you know, it's I'm glad to be part of it and proud to be part of it and proud to say all those guys are my friends, and it's
that's cool.
It's been great.
It sounds like an environment that's fun to be around. Of course, the Petrie family has been around racing as long as I remember, from probably the you said the 90s here, but it goes back beyond with your father racing.
Yeah, and they still all are. You know, my brother Joe has always been instrumental in helping me through with everything I do. He does on my pavement cars. He built motors. He did chassis setup. You know, my brother Jim ran for years at the bowling. He's still involved. Now my nephew, Jimmy, he got I think his first year in the modifieds was maybe 2019 or so. So we still do have my brothers still do have a pavement modified.
Sweet.
It's a Chris Bray chassis modified, and those things have came a long way. It's a fabricated front clip, quick change rear end in it. Some races we run a crate motor, some we run an open motor, but you know, they're running at Havasu this weekend too. So it's really cool, because running dirt and then running pavement, lots of times we're not at the racetrack together, but being at Havasu, the dwarf cars and modifiers are running, so it makes it that much better, because I get to hang out with them and be part of Jimmy running too. And last year, he finished second in points at Havasu in the modified, so he's came a long way.
That's
and
really cool.
Yeah, he does a great job, and you know, my brother-in-law Sean helps him a lot, and a good friend of ours John Wright, and my brother Joe and Jim, and you know, we all try to do what we can do, but Jimmy's learning all the, I guess I want to say the ins and outs. You know, he's starting to realize. You know, for a while he wasn't sure what all it took, but he gets dirty. He has no issue working on the car, and he does whatever you ask him, and he's learned how much work it takes, and he's doing really well, and I'm really proud of how far he's came in the last few years, gotten to be in the modified. So,
so
the modified.
This weekend's race at Havasu, is that a 2 p.m. show, or is that
a day show?
That's Arizona time, so remember their time is different than
yeah, it's an hour later right now. Yeah, so it's a 2 p.m. show. It's also so here's the other hat I wear.
Okay,
if you guys didn't already know, I do I write all the rules, work on all the rules, and do all the tech at Havasu for all the pavement divisions. So when I'm not racing the Dorf car, when I'm not doing something else, if I'm not racing in Havasu and there's not a Dorf car event going on, I'm down there doing tech with Bill and that crew. So this weekend at Havasu is our biggest street stock race of the year. It's the 75 lap 1,000 to win street stock race. We've been getting pretty good car counts on the street stocks.
That one's always got a
lot. So I imagine there'll be up over 20, 24 cars for sure. So street stocks are there. The 602 modifieds, my nephew will be able to run the Dorf cars, his outlaw carts, which run on the little inside dirt track. They have two divisions, outlaw carts that the kids run, and the flat carts. They have flat cart division there now. So those are all the divisions that will be down there this weekend. And yeah, it's always a good show down there. Place is packed, great atmosphere. You know, just like Mojave, love going to both of them. So
sweet. That's kind of the street stock race they have there. It's always big. Like I said, 75 lap.
75 lap, 1,000
to win.
Can't beat it. There's cars. I know there's cars that come from all over to run it, and it's really competitive and a lot of good cars. It'll be fun to watch.
And then following that, of course, you just said out at Vegas, the XR. XR probably has their own website. You can go to.
Sure, you can go to XR Racing, and it's this race coming up next week is called the Working Man Nationals.
Okay.
And he does some cool things too.
What else do they have racing besides the Dwarfs?
They have the Mini Dwarfs.
Okay.
On the little track, the Dwarf cars, West Coast Sport Compacts, Modifieds, and B Mods. I'm pretty sure that's the five classes running. Full shows every night. He races to main events every night. It's not run Friday to qualify for Saturday. So there might be more cars as it gets closer to the weekend.
Sure.
People could show up on Saturday and just run kind of thing. But, you know, we do it all 3 days. And, so those are the divisions running out there. It's called the Working Man Nationals. He does some cool things, too. I don't know all the details, but I know, like, he gives bonus money for the highest finishing car that towed on an open trailer and stuff like that. So, yeah, so it should be a good show if you're a dirt track fan all together as well.
And XR is the same people that put on the dual.
They have experience, they know what they're doing. Yeah. And I think, I'm not 100% positive, but I think this year they're doing two weekends of the dual in the desert. One weekend is all the modified stuff, and the next weekend is late models. And I don't know what all the details are, but so it should be a good couple of weeks of racing out there too.
Cool. And then, of course, following that, so your guys is national at Mojave.
Right.
Now, Mojave has a website.
Sure, Mojave Valley Raceway. You can check on their website as well for their schedule. And it's the closest dirt track to Las Vegas that runs weekly shows, besides the big events they run at the dirt track here. So if you're a dirt track fan, go down there. It's great family atmosphere. It's packed. The Myers family does a great job. The track prep's on point. They've made tons of improvements. New fencing, new lighting, electric scoreboards, transponders.
It's been a while since I've been there.
It's quite a bit. Tech sheds. They've done a lot of work on that place, and it's really a good place to go run too. And we're grateful that they let us be part of their family.
That show is
Which one?
Well, Mojave.
Our national.
Your national.
The national is an evening show.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a day show. It's an evening show. So
Of course, same thing. It's been Arizona, so that is Arizona time. So make sure you're aware of that when you go and check out the Dwarfs at Mojave for the nationals that you guys have. But we're already out of time and can't thank you, Pat Petrie, for coming in. Don't be a stranger. I know you are busy wearing many hats, and congratulations to you. I think you have a family, too, somewhere in there. So
my wife and kids love them to death, and they put up with a lot, and I appreciate them.
Cool, and definitely get a hold of Pat. Take care of these sponsors that that support racing. Thanks again, Pat. Can't thank you enough. Always a pleasure to have you.
All right, thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
And we'll be back live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Am I going to be here next week? I don't know. I won't be here, but it'll be a great day.
Cool.